Brian said he was leaving. Go up with the AC to his Scotty's game. He didn't ask me to preach. I just volunteered. So, you know, you get me because I volunteered. The last time I volunteered, it took me 20 years to get over it. So, we will see how it turns out today. We're going to discuss sin today, all types of sin. We're going to look at the seven deadly sins and where they come from and if they are spiritual. But to start off, I want to say that we should not compare ourselves to others. We are individuals. We are who we are. We come conscious of sin through the law. And that can be found in Romans 3:20. I will read that now. Romans 3:20. Because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So we should know about sin because of the law. We should know that it's out there. We should know what causes it, why we have it. If you go to the dictionary and look up sin, you'll find out that it's wrongdoing. It's a transgression. It's crime, it's an offense, and it's a misdeed. We can also see that we have all sinned. The Bible tells us that in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all fit the same boat. We're all here. But if you go to the scriptural meaning of sin, you're going to find out that it is anything that separates you from God. So let's look at the seven deadly sins and where they come from. So first of all, I want to say that they are not biblical. You can find them in the Bible, but you will not find a list of these seven sins. They are all in there. In Galatians 5:19 and 20, Paul goes so far, he expounded that list long before they came out, and he gave us a list of 18 deadly sins or works that will keep us out of the kingdom of God. And in Romans 6:23, we learn what the wages of sin is. And I'm not sure any of us wants to be paid the wages of what sin is in the Bible. Because the wages of sin is death. But on the other hand, the Bible also tells us that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can see in James 2:10 why we do not wish to do any sin. None. For whosoever keeps the whole law, and that's everything, and yet stumbles at just one point, is guilty of breaking them all. We cannot pick and choose what sins we are going to do. We shouldn't do any of them. So where did the seven deadly sins come from? First place I can find them, and with Brian's help, is by a man by the name of John Cashin. He was a monk who lived 360 to 435. His seven deadly sins were 1, pride, 2, greed, 3, envy, 4, wrath or anger, 5, lust, 6, gluttony, and 7, sloth or laziness. Then, between 540 and 604, when Pope Gregory wrote the list again, but he changed the list by putting wrath and lust at the top. The list became very popular when Dante wrote the Inferno and Divine Comedy between 1265 and 1321. He listed the same seven sins again, but in different orders. there's many deadly sins out there. Just to bring us up to a modern time a little bit, in 2005, the British BBC poll showed that they wanted their own list. They didn't like the seven. So they added one, cruelty, two, adultery, three, dishonesty, four, bigotry, five, hypocrisy, six, selfishness. The only one that remained out of the original seven was greed. Just to point out something else about this poll, they asked them if they committed them. 9% of the British people in this poll said that they never, ever committed any of the seven ritual deadly sins that was on that list. I don't believe that. I just don't. Just like to point out again that God does not single these out as the only deadly sins above all others. But let us look at them one at a time. First is pride. What is pride? It's excessive view of oneself without regard for others. It's puffed up, high-minded. How do we fight this pride? Well, most answers we can find in the Bible, and we can find this one. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And we want that grace. So there's nothing wrong with being proud of yourself. Being proud of your hometown, being proud of your family. But if you go to excess of that, that's what becomes sin. Just be a little humble with your pride. Number two, envy. The desire to have an item or experience that someone else possesses. You can also say it's jealousy, resentment, bitterness, discontent. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, we get the answer again. Because love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. But we should have love in our hearts. We should love each other. Number three, anger or wrath. It's a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, hostility towards one another. We can also say it's rage, fury, irritability, outrage, strong outburst, and agitation. If I fit in any one of those, I'd fit there. But James tells us in 1:19-20, "My dear brothers, take not of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man anger does not bring about the righteousness of that God wants us to have, what he desires." What does that tell us? That a little self-control goes a long way in defeating anger. If we can keep ourselves under control, anger won't show up near as much. If we just take our time, it won't show up as much. There's a song we sing, "Angry Words," and I play that. You can say them, but they'll come back to bite you. Number four, sloth or laziness, is the failure to act and utilize one's talents. All of one's talents. A slothful person is reluctant to work, reluctant to help out, to make an effort. In today's modern words, our kids would probably say a lot of wishbone and no backbone. In Ecclesiastes Ecclesiastes 10:18 gives us a warning. If a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If the hands are idle, the house leaks. We are decaying, and we do not want to go in the decaying direction. We want to go forward. In Proverbs 19:15, we see laziness brings on a deep sleep, and the softest man goes hungry. So I can ask a question to all of us here today, including myself. Are we doing all we can for God? Are we using all of our talents? Or have we taken some of those talents and put them up on the shelf, forgot about them, never tried to increase them? And if we have done that, we need to take them down, dust them off, and get to work for God. That's what He wants us to do. We should use all of our talents for Him. Number five, greed. An excessive pursuit of material possessions, items, and selfish desires for something, and especially wealth, power, food. We call it craving, longing, huge appetite. Matthew 6:19-21 gives us the answer. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth, rust can destroy, and where the thieves can break in and steal it. For store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth, rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because it also tells us where our heart is, or where our treasure is, there's where our heart's at. We can't be worried about treasure. God's not going to let us go hungry. He's not going to let us go, you know, without. He's going to take care of us. We need to, and not worldly possessions, and we need to be generous to others. Number six, gluttony. Excessive ongoing consumption of food or drink. So much so that it becomes a habit, not a need. We could say today we call it piggishness. How do we help this? We help it with moderation, and we can see in Matthew 5:6, and thirst for righteousness, they will be fed. In Luke 6:21, we are told, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. We are told to be satisfied in whatever position we're in. But if we keep at it, God will help us. God will take care of us. We don't have to worry about that. Number seven, lust. A strong sexual desire and uncontrollable passion, longing. We can also call it a door, covet, eagerness, self-destructive drive, excessive wanting. Paul tells us in Romans 13:14, rather close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to glorify the desires of the sinful nature. Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:27, no, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified from Christ. So stay under control. There is a prize that we want to win. This list of seven deadly sin is not of God. It's a man-made list, and we must understand it. But there's a lot more than these seven. The list can go on and on and on if we listed all the sins. If I sat here and passed out pencils and papers to each and every one of you, and I said, you give me your seven deadly sins, I can tell you right now, there'd be no two papers alike. Everybody would have something different on that list. We all fight our own devil. What causes sin? It's the human need for excess. We all want more than we have. We should not be that way. We should be content with what we have. Excess goes against Christianity, which is love of God, love of fellow man, and love for our own body. If we can't love ourselves, how can we love others? according to the direction of the Holy Spirit, to walk in God's statutes and judgments. This new heart doesn't come from outside of us. It doesn't come from within. It comes from God. The passage clearly says that. It comes from God and God alone. So how do we defeat these sins? All sins with this new heart. We can because the Holy Spirit is indwelling in us. It will help us to defeat sin by showing. Before I get to that list, I want to say one other thing. My daughter is a teacher. She was a teacher. She is now an administrator. But ever since she was a teacher, she has a little plaque on her wall that says, "Everything I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten." I don't agree with that completely, but I agree with a lot of it. Because those things on that list does help us learn. Be kind, love, don't get, patience, that kind of stuff. That's what we need to learn. And if we can learn it from a little children, we need to. So here I listed 7 things that can help us out a little bit. Kindness. That's a desire to help others. We should always be looking forward to helping other people. Temperance. Control ourselves and to serve others. Number 3, charity or love. Put others first. Chastity. Control of our longing and desire. Humility, number 5. Do away with pride. Others first. 6. Diligence and zeal on our part. The best interest of other people more so than ourselves. Patience. If you ask my wife, she would tell you, "I need this." Take time to understand the needs and desires of others before acting and speaking. That's pretty much my sermon. But before closing, I have one other passage I'd like to read. Because it's a warning, not only to me, but to all of us. All sin can be forgiven. All sin but one. What's that one? If you go to Matthew 12:31, it says, "Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." Now the way I look at the world, the way I understand it, there's only 2 ways that you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. One is by writing it down. 2 is actually saying it. You don't want to do those 2 things. You won't be forgiven. You know, the men of this congregation, they try awful hard to make sure that the word of God gets out. We have Secretary Jim. And every week on the back of our bulletin, puts the plan for salvation in. He puts the scriptures that cover it. We also have business cards, if you want to call this a business. But on the back of it, this is salvation plan. A friend, and he told me, this is just my point of view. You can think about it, talk it out, or whatever you want to do with it. That in this lifetime, if you have 5 friends, 5 true friends, you are truly blessed. In my lifetime, I've had 3 I know of. One is my wife, Diane. One is a man called C.A. Smith, who passed away. He was a Navy with me. He was my dolphin buddy. And the other one is Jesus. Why? Because you can go to your friend, a true friend, say things to him, talk to him, and know that that's where it's going to go. It's not going to be down on the street corner the next morning. It's private. That's what I call a true friend. So Jesus has offered us an opportunity. He has reached out. God has come down. He has given His Son. Jesus died and resurrected and ascended for us. He has given us an opportunity for eternal life. And if we reject it, shame on us. If anybody's here today needs prayers for the church, we can do that. If anyone wishes to be baptized, we have men here who can do that. So think about it. Think about God. Think about Jesus. Think about not having sin in your life and thinking about the forgiveness that we can have.